I'm talking about how to walk the way of salvation and eternal life. Thanks to precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved, but we should not be satisfied with that. Even though we are saved, if we get away from this way of salvation, we cannot go to heaven. The enemy devil and Satan tries hard to drag us from the way of the salvation. They provoke our evil nature into coming sin. There are trivial sins and grave sins. And there are very grave sins which cannot give you the chance of repentance. That's the sin leading to death. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and putting our Lord on the cross again and outstanding works of the body. And we should know, understand them correctly, and we should never commit them. If we know about sin and if we are alerted, then we can keep faith without leaving the way of salvation. Now what's then? What then? We should not let go of spirit itself. We have to let our faith grow up. So tonight, and next time probably, I'll tell you how to make your spirit grow. This message is based on Senior Pastor's message of the cross. Brothers and sisters, spiritual realm truly exists, but it is invisible. Therefore, men with fleshly limit cannot understand nor understand. So, Father God has used various ways and methods so that human beings can understand and believe in the spiritual realm and cast the flesh and long for his spirit. First of all, he manifests the signs and the wonders to let us know his existence. And he adds our confidence through prophecy. He sent the Holy Spirit into our heart so that we can understand his word and understand the spiritual world. On top of that, when he explains about spiritual things, he compares them to the things of this visible world. Through all this, we believe and experience heaven, hell, rewards, measure of faith, goodness, evil and sin, and spiritual things, that they truly exist. And we can clearly understand spiritual law and justice. That way, we can understand answers and blessings. Tonight and next time, I'm going to focus on spiritual growth. The fact is that the Spirit truly exists. To the extent our faith grows up, the life from the Spirit also grows stronger. But it is invisible. So Father God makes examples many parts in the Bible. One big example is the growth of man, which can be found in 1 John chapter 2. And it is compared to little children, children, young men, and fathers. You know, after people were forgiven and received the Holy Spirit, their faith is like the faith of little children. And when their faith grows up, you know, they become they're going to have faith of children because they know the Father. And furthermore, they're going to have a faith of young men who has overcome the evil one. And later, they will eventually have the faith of fathers who knows Father God that has been from the beginning. Our spirit should grow up like this. We have to admit that Jesus is the Savior. And when we repent of our sin, Father God sent the Holy Spirit into our heart. Then we can become children of God. It is called we are saved or we are reborn. It's like we are just born in a spiritual sense. However, even in a physical sense, when a baby is born, he cannot become a one complete man. The baby has to grow up. And the baby has to learn the duty of man. If the baby does not eat, does not grow up, then the baby will eventually die. The same applies in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual things, spiritual sense. Once you are reborn after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, you are inside the boundary of salvation. But it does not mean that you completely possess the eternal life. You don't know the truth. You don't know how to pray. You don't discern evil and goodness. So you may depart from the way of salvation. So you have to eat and drink spiritual bread to make your spirit grow up. The spiritual bread is the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. Otherwise, if we don't drink and eat it, our spirit will get hungry. If the spirit got hungry, the Holy Spirit will become, you know, weary and mourn. Once this thirst and the weary is gone, then we are back to the world again. If we just let it go, then just like the baby does not eat food and die, our spirit will also die, and the Holy Spirit will be quenched. So you and I should never let our spirit die of hunger. We have to diligently eat the spirit of life, the bread of spirit, and we have to grow up to fully resemble our Lord. Brothers and sisters, so what is spiritual bread? The answer is found in John chapter 6, verse 53. And it is written many times in a year. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And verse 55, the Lord said, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. So the flesh and blood of the Son of Man becomes our spiritual food. The Son of Man refers to Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have life in us. What if we don't eat? There is no life, he said. Since we don't have spiritual life in us, we cannot receive salvation. So we gotta diligently eat and drink. Now, how can we eat and drink the flesh and blood of the Lord who stayed in this earth 2,000 years ago? You should not interpret this literally. You gotta know there is spiritual meaning. Well, the flesh refers to the word of God, and the blood refers to obedience and practice. It is very similar to man's eating and digesting and excreting. If we eat food well and drink water well and digest food well, what will happen? We will excrete well, and we will absorb all the good nutrients from the food, and our body will recognize them. It is the same in spiritual sense. If we arm ourselves with the word of God, and if we put that into practice, then we are told that we eat and digest well the spiritual food. And just as we excrete, the untruth will be cast off. And just as we observe nutrients from food, we will observe goodness and love from the word. It is a state that we can completely make the bread from the spiritual word. Then our spirit will grow up very quickly. So, let's talk about the flesh of Son of Man and his blood. I'm going to talk about the flesh of Son of Man first. Brothers and sisters, the flesh of Son of Man refers to the word of God in a spiritual sense. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who this refers to? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the word of God, and he became the flesh and came down to this earth. So his original nature is the word. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He called himself bread, the spiritual food. Then how to eat this spiritual flesh? It's very important. Well, this how to is closely related to how we eat lamb. Jesus Christ can be compared to little lamb in the Bible. John chapter 1 verse 29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why is that? Because the two of them are very similar to each other. Well, of course, you know, little lamb cannot even compare it to our Jesus. However, to help us understand the nature of Jesus, you know, we can use in the lamb, which is very similar to our Lord. First of all, lambs only follow the voice of the shepherd and gives only good things. Fur, skin, meat. Jesus also obeyed the word of God and the will of God. He healed the people, preached the gospel of heaven, and did only goodness to give good to people. Since he was gentle, he didn't resist against all kinds of insultation, all mockery, until he died on the cross. Especially, lamb, about a year old, is the most beautiful one. In a spiritual sense, it can be compared to our Jesus. Some people say lamb can be compared to novice Christians. However, we gotta know this lamb represents our Lord. Now, let me tell you in great detail how to eat this lamb. In Exodus, you know, the 70 household of Jacob became 2 million. And they escaped from Egypt. That is written in Exodus. Especially Exodus chapter 12 is where the last plague, the plague of the firstborn, came upon Egypt. And there, Israelites kept the Passover. This Passover, you know, literally means is passing over a disaster. When they kept the Passover the way our Father God said, the plague of death would not come into their house. So, when they painted the blood of lamb on their house, and the plague of the firstborn didn't come into their house, and they were protected. So, the lamb represents Jesus Christ, as you can see in this example. However, you cannot eat this lamb in just any ways. But Father God explained in great detail, as written in Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. They shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. So Father God said, we got it roasted with fire. We should not eat any of it raw or boiled with water. But we have to eat its head and its legs along with its entrails. And we should not leave any of it until morning. We got to burn it with fire. So once the morning comes, then we cannot eat. Well, people may say it is just a regulation to keep Passover. However, the Old Testament is the shadow of New Testament, and there are always pairs. So the way to eat lamb in Passover is closely linked to how to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. So let me tell you how to eat this. First, we gotta roast the lamb with fire. Fire spiritually means the fire of the Holy Spirit. So, we have to roast the Word of God with the fire of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we listen to the Word of God, we have to understand it in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and make bread from it. To make fire of the Holy Spirit, we need fervent prayer. We gotta pray fervently, receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and accept the Word with humble heart. And we gotta meditate on it, pray for the message, and use that to look back on ourselves. Then, it is the right way to eat the flesh of Son of Man. However, chances are that people don't make bread from it. They don't roast it with fire. They use different ways of cooking. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of a human will, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Some people interpret the Word of God the way they like. But 2 Peter 3:16 says, "As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." It means they use man's method to understand the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, Word of God is not from the will of man. They wrote the Word of God in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Since it is written by in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it can be interpreted only in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If people just interpret it with their own method, they cannot interpret it well. They may distort the truth, and they may end up in destruction. So, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they may understand this way of eating lamb can be compared to eating raw or eating or boiling with water. What if we eat meat raw? We cannot digest it well. Some germs can come into our body. If we boil meat with water, then all the nutrients inside the meat goes into the water, so we cannot get benefit from it. Even though we eat, you know, expensive, you know, meat, we cannot digest, we cannot absorb nutrients well, right? By the same token, we have to correctly understand and make bread of the Word of God. We should not use man's way. Let me give you two examples of not understanding and making or eating lamb. Eating lamb raw means not understanding the spiritual meaning of the Word of God, but interpreted it literally. Just as our stomach got upset when we eat, you know, meat raw, when we eat the Word of God raw, then some unusual reaction will follow. Some examples follow. Matthew chapter 6 verse 6 says, But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This verse contains spiritual meaning. But what if men interpret these words literally? Then they may have to prepare in a room and they should go in only to pray. That's how to obey the Word of God. So if you don't have inner room, then you gotta have it. Otherwise, you cannot pray, right? Another example. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 34 and 35 says, "The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves just as law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church." Well, if you interpret these verses literally, then female members cannot do anything inside church. The ladies will not be given any kind of duties inside church. They cannot become group leaders, hands of the mission, district leaders, or cell leaders, because they should keep silent. They cannot pray. They cannot sing praises. You know, there will be no female pastors. Then what about ushers and serving guests from abroad? This should be done by all male members, right? What about at work? Well, you gotta obey the word, right? Well, there are many churches who made the tradition of elders by interpreting these verses literally. So, they think it's strange to have female pastors deliver message. Well, it's not that so these days, but there are still restrictions. Some people take the economical right and all kinds of benefits inside the family only to husband. Well, I came to this church and read this message. So when I read these verses, I was in agony. But then I thought myself that, what if wife had better faith than her husband? That's not right. The wife got a, you know, a senior deaconess, but the husband just barely goes to Sunday service. That's not right. Later on, senior pastor explained it well in Message of the Cross, so I was so thankful. Another example. When people don't understand spiritual meaning in the Word of God, then they may eat this Word of God raw. Then you may get away from the truth, especially the way of salvation. Every verse in the Bible goes in pair. If there is no pair, then your interpretation is not right. So you gotta pray fervently and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to find pairs. So let's find a pair of this message, okay? Well, we gotta pray fervently to Father God to find pairs. And it's not easy. However, our shepherd prayed for 7 years and fasted to get these fine pairs by Father God. So let me tell you those, you know, two examples. Matthew 6:6, our Jesus explained about how to pray. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father God. If it is right to go into the inner room to pray, then Jesus and all other forefathers of faith should have entered the inner room. But you cannot find such verses in the Bible at all. Jesus went to hill or some quiet place, not the inner room. Apostles prayed inside the sanctuary or went up to rooftop or prayed by the shore. In Israel, the roof is quite flat, so they can go up and pray there. Apostle Peter also prayed on the rooftop. Daniel opened the window wide open and prayed toward the Jerusalem. So this inner room does not refer to actual inner room of a house. This inner room spiritually means the heart of man. So going into the inner room means you have to communicate with Father God in your prayer in deep heart. To go into the deep inner room, then you have to shut yourself from the outside. So you, when you pray, you should not pray in order to be acknowledged by others. You should focus on the pray and concentrate to communicate with Father God. What about women should be kept silent? As 1 Corinthians 14 verses 34 and 35 says. Well, if you interpret these verses literally, then ladies cannot be used at all in church. However, you can find many ladies who were chosen for the kingdom of God and used wisely. In Judges chapter 4, you can find female judge Deborah. And there was Jael who, you know, won victory in the battle. And when King Joshua, you know, found the book of the God's law, he gave it to female prophet Huldah. What about in the New Testament? When Jesus was arrested, his disciples fled away. When he went to Golgotha with cross on his shoulder, except John and Peter far away, most of the disciples were not there. However, Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary risked their lives to follow Jesus. And such ladies' names and their deeds are well written in the Bible. And what about Priscilla, who followed and helped Apostle Paul? Those ladies' names are well written in the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, when women had the better faith than men, Father God set up as prophets and let them save their people. So, the lady or women in those verses do not refer to female. They refer to those who are not in the truth yet, even though they go to church. Eve, the first woman who was not in the truth, was deceived by the serpent and deceived the first man Adam to commit sin. So all those fleshly people are referred to women. Those who are not turned and changed by the truth. They spoke many words of untruth. And they are very quick in temper. And they are very arrogant. Such people with fleshly attributes are called women in the Bible. And they are called, they are one to be kept silent. So, those ladies who follow the word of God and live by it does not refer to these women. That does not, will not be called women. Husbands who do not have faith can be, they are women. And they should be kept silent. They have to ask their wives or other workers to learn the word of God and put that into practice. Brothers and sisters, well, I just explained eating lamb raw. Now, what about boiling it water? It means you should not add any worldly things when you learn the word of God. From time to time, people use all kinds of fleshly ways or thoughts of man to interpret the word of God. Then the interpretation is wrong. Since man has limit, they can understand great will of Father God and providence of God. They cannot judge the heart of God. They cannot interpret the word of God. It's impossible. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Men's thoughts and wisdom are very limited. They are not perfect. And their thoughts and wisdom change as time passes by. So 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." The word of God is outstanding, much, much more outstanding than any wisdom of this world. The word of God is the only truth, and it's eternal. So let me give you some examples of boiling the lamb with the word of God. Genesis 22 verse 2 says, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Most fleshly people say Abraham was very sad when he heard this message. Because the parents become sad, you know, when they know that some harms will come to their children. Isaac meant very spiritual meaning to Abraham, because Father God promised Abraham to give countless descendants through Isaac. So if Isaac dies as a burnt offering, that promise will be nothing. He waited for the promise for 25 years. So Isaac was more than life to Abraham. So people think when the word was given to Abraham from Father God, and on the way to Moriah, and the moment he gave in Isaac as a burnt offering, he was in agony. They think Abraham might have thought, "Should I obey? Should I say no? Somebody should stop me." They think Abraham might have thought like that. Now they think, you know, Abraham wanted, you know, Father God to stop, you know, killing his son as a burnt offering. So they think, and Abraham was quite, you know, relieved when Father God stopped killing Isaac. That's what normal people think. However, mommy members, would Abraham be sad? Well, you know the answer already. Well, I read in a Bible cartoon one day, and I was kind of hurt. Because on that cartoon, in the comic book, you know, when God told Abraham to give Isaac, and Abraham was in severe agony. And he was in great agony on the way to Mount Moriah. My poor son, my poor son. When Abraham arrived at the Mount of Moriah, Isaac asked him, where is the lamb? Then Abraham cried, and he said to Isaac, God told me to give you as a burnt offering. I cannot help it because it's the word of God. Well, this is what the Bible comics and they explained. Then Isaac cried together, it is the will of God, so give me as a burnt offering. And Abraham said, your faith is better than mine. And he tried to give, to give Isaac as a burnt offering. Well, brothers and sisters. Now, was Abraham said like this? When I read that comics, even though I was young, I already knew the spiritual meaning of the verses. So I stopped reading it. That Bible comics were published quite a lot, but that's how worldly people understand the Bible. I was kind of sad because so many people would, eat the flesh of Son of Man like this, boiled in the water. I felt sad because the people might, misunderstand the will of God. So my prayer for the church and the shepherd became, more fervent. Well, if I recall it. I thought that, Mammon Church should, publish, Bible comics. Those who misunderstand the word of God cannot find the cause of problems that they face. They may say it is the trials given by God. Since they cannot understand the will of God, they say like that. It happens when they eat the word of God boiled with water. They rather think God as a fearsome dictator. Brothers and sisters, Abraham was not sad. He was not curious about the command. If he had had such a mind, the Father would not have given him such command. Father God treasures lives. He is not pleased to receive man's burnt offering. Since Abraham believed in the goodwill of Father God, he did not misunderstand God. He rather rejoiced and thankful for this command. Because Father God acknowledged his love and faith to give such order. Now, why did God give such order? It was to give blessing to Abraham. Of course, Abraham already cast off every form of evil and destroyed all the fleshly thoughts. However, it was the final test to set him up as a forefather of faith and to prove that he is perfect, to give blessing upon blessings. If Father God had given the blessing, then the enemy devil and Satan would accuse. So Father God wanted to proclaim that Abraham was perfect. Once he passed the test, then justice is made to receive greater blessing. God knew that Abraham took the order of God and obeyed it with joy. And he knew that Abraham would give his only son Isaac as burnt offering. He knew that Abraham loved Father God and he was faithful and he didn't change his mind. Abram also knew that there would be goodwill of Father God. And Abram still believed that Father God would give him countless descendants through Isaac. So of course Isaac would die. However, Father God would revive even dead Isaac to accomplish his promise. Well, in the days of New Testament, people saw the resurrection of the Lord. So people might believe in the resurrection of dead people. However, in the days of Abraham, there is no concept of revival of dead people. But Abraham had such a faith. So you can see how great faith he had. The test of giving Isaac as a burnt offering was possible due to this deep relationship and love. And Abram was true in his heart, if you read Genesis chapter 22. First, verse 3 says, so Abram rose early in the morning. He woke up early in the morning. Some people say, you know, Abram tried to delay to change the heart of Father God. Well, it is wrong. He woke up early in the morning. He prepared all the burnt offering. Now, in the Bible, Abram didn't tell his wife Sarah about the order of God. If Sarah had known it, she would not let go of Abraham. Since Sarah had weak faith, she couldn't understand the heart of God and the order of God. She should have stopped Abraham. You know, if Abraham wanted someone to stop him, he must have told, you know, Sarah about it. But he didn't do that. He woke up early and then left. And he didn't tell his two maids either. Genesis 22 verse 5 says, Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Since he was ready to give Isaac as a burnt offering, he didn't hesitate. Until this moment, until the moment Abram was about to kill Isaac, Father God waited, and Abram passed it. So he sent the angel of God and stopped him. Genesis 22 verse 12 says, he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. It does not mean that he knew now. He already knew. It means he now passed officially how much Abraham feared God. And after this, Abraham received great blessings. Genesis 22 verses 16 to 18 says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. But then Abram received the blessing and he lived long. So when we eat the flesh of men of God roasted in the fire, then we can understand Genesis chapter 22. However, if people use their own thoughts and read these verses, then they cannot understand God. They may think, even though I can understand Father God, once we obey, then we'll receive blessing later on. Then chances are that they may misunderstand God. So when people eat the lamb boiled with the water, there are other examples. You know, they study the Bible after they study Hebrews and Greek words, Greeks. You know, the Old Testaments were written in Greek and Hebrews, right? And many New Testaments were written in Greeks. Well, back then, you know, those in the Bibles were written in Greeks and Hebrews. So, it might help. However, it does not mean that, you know, people cannot understand spiritual meaning in them. They cannot gain life from them. Well, if we can understand the will of God by studying Hebrews and Greeks, then we gotta learn it for sure. What about the Pharisees and scribes? The Hebrew was their, you know, native language. And they memorized the word of God. However, they didn't recognize Jesus, who was the word of God, coming in flesh. And they couldn't gain eternal life. The core of the Bible is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even the Pharisees and scribes were experts of the Bible. When Jesus came down to this earth, they didn't recognize. They rather interpreted his ministry. They even crucified our Lord on the cross. So what is the use to speak Greeks and Hebrews? In addition, when people use their own thought, they cannot believe in Father God's signs and wonders because they can understand them with their own thought. Well, in four Gospels, you can find the scene that Jesus walked on the Lake of Galilee. Matthew 14:25 says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea." Some people give different ideas about this Jesus walking on the sea. Well, for sure, you know, Jesus was by the Galilee Lake. However, you know, he walked by the shore of the seashore. You know, there are like, you know, reeds, and so they think that, you know, Jesus walked by the seashore of the Galilee Sea. So Jesus didn't walk on the sea. So they denied the verse. However, Jesus for sure walked on the sea. Since people cannot walk on the sea, cannot walk on water, they can understand it. If they use their own thoughts, they can understand this Bible like this. So what is the strength? It is the strength that proves that Father God is alive, who does something beyond the strength of man. The works of God truly revealed by changing weather. Now, these signs and wonders cannot be understood with man's mind. Before you came to this church and experienced the works of God's power, many of you couldn't believe in those signs in the Bible. However, you experienced blessings, wonders by yourselves. You experienced them by yourselves. From the prayer for the sick from the pulpit, people were healed. Raise your hand if you experienced it. Most of you would raise your hand. We even learned spiritual principle of the works of spiritual realms, such as, you know, spiritual gates, gates of spiritual realm, four living spirits, four living things, cherubim. We learned that the clouds coming through the spiritual door, spiritual gate. And Moses and the Israelites could cross the Red Sea since they were inside the spiritual space. There are so many things we experienced and understood. Sometimes we take advantage of it. Even though we don't have any strength to have rainbow over the sky, we just shout out to God, saying, "God of the shepherd," then we can see rainbow. You don't even shout out. You just long for it in your heart, then think of God and the shepherd, then you can find in the sky, you can find rainbow in the sky. I can hear so many testimonies like that. When you are sick, you put handkerchief on the sick part, and you heal yourself. And before you pray, you repent. You know it very well. Sometimes you have dragonflies, you know, sit on your fingertip. How thankful we should be. Even in this rough world, we experience so many works like this. And our shepherd let all this possible through his sacrifice. From the start of this church, he believed that Father God is able. And with his power, he proved it. We haven't witnessed that man walking on the water, but our shepherd will surely show it to us. Our shepherd said we should never preach the gospel boiled with water. Pastors and workers of the church should understand it very well. The message and the word of God should not contain any knowledge of man or theory of the world. Church members not here to learn how to get wisdom, how to make money well, and how to get fine food. those things should be used to make the Word of God understood well by the people. If you interpret the Word of God with your own thought, then you make people misunderstand the Word of God and they might lose their faith. The Word of God is to save souls. You have to preach the gospel with the confidence that Father God is alive. And you have to think how to prove that Father God is alive through the Word of God. You have to interpret the Word of God in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then you can find pairs and understand spiritual meaning. It is the same when you listen and learn. You can understand the Word of God with worldly knowledge and theory. Because worldly knowledge becomes hostile toward God, hostile with the Word of God. Once our shepherd said like this, I am strengthening myself with the ideal of the world. It is impossible to understand the Word of God overnight. It's impossible. If you can understand the Word of God first, it's impossible because the Word of God is not against the word of, the theory and wisdom of the world. You took medicine to get healed, but Father God said you can be healed through prayer without medicine. Well, can you say, well, when I came to the church for the first time, I could believe everything? Well, when you listen to the message, you break your thoughts and worldly knowledge right away. You are doing a great job. Brothers and sisters, to eat lamb roasted with fire, again, you have to let yourself down first. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, you are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When the Word of God is against your thoughts, then you should think that my thought would be wrong. My experience would be wrong. I was not taught well. You gotta change your thought like this. And you gotta admit the Word of God and take it. Most of all, you have to pray for it. When you pray, then you can understand the Word of God better. Your heart will open. And you may have your ears open to all those testimonies. Thanks to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you can listen and experience the Word of God. This prayer is very important, not only in eating the flesh of man, flesh of Son of God, but also drinking God's Lord's blood. Even though you pray, you cannot understand all those Bible verses of the Bible. However, thanks to our shepherd, who prayed and fasted for 7 years to find pairs and to understand the Word of God, our shepherd also explained Genesis, Revelations, and Job. He explained all those difficult Bible verses in the Bible. How to change our heart to go to New Jerusalem. All those words were given by our shepherd. Such word of life was given by our shepherd. And we are blessed for that. Brothers and sisters, we have to eat lamb as a whole. We have to eat its head, entrails, everything. It means we have to make bread of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books of the Bible, everything. But some people skip Leviticus, which is hard to understand. Some people say, you know, you should not read the Revelations, otherwise, you know, you may misunderstand the Word of God. And since the Old Testament is before the Lord, and we have nothing to do with those, you know, with those words. Some people don't believe in signs and wonders written in the Bible. If you omit all those things of the Bible, what is left? They're just moral lessons, right? So even though if you understand Bible like this, then you cannot gain eternal life from the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, which can reveal the heart of Father God in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. His heart is so vast, so huge. Only extreme part of it was chosen and written in the Bible, in the 66 books of the Bible. In other words, there were so many things that he wanted to write, but was impossible. The Bible says, you know, even all books of the world is not enough to write everything Jesus did. So can you imagine how, you know, deep meanings are contained in every verses of the Bible? People may think there is no meaning in this verse, but even in those verses contain a very deep spiritual meaning of Father God. So, you should not make bread of the Bible in your thought, but you have to take every word as word of God and make bread of it completely. Third, we should not leave it until the morning. We gotta burn it. We cannot eat it once the morning comes. We gotta burn it all once the morning comes. Spiritually, night means the time period where the enemy, when enemy devil and Satan has the authority, which refers to the end time of this end time. And it is extreme in 7-year tribulation. When the Lord comes back, the darkness will fade away, and the light will come, and the morning comes. Then, our rewards and the levels of our sanctification will be revealed. Even though there is no final judgment yet, we will know which heaven we will go and what kind of rewards we can expect. Then we will realize how foolish it was not to cast off self-righteousness and frameworks and pride of this world and greed. All those in the greed, things that we piled up on this earth and everything we loved in this world, all gone. Even though you made much wealth, you cannot take it, not even penny to heaven. Even though you were born with silver spoon with you in your mouth, it cannot become rewards in heaven. Everyone receives judgment. If there is nothing you pile up before God, then there is nothing you can receive in heaven, even though you enjoyed so many things on this earth. There is no chance to change it because the cultivation is over. God, give me one more chance. Just give me one more year. Then I will fast and pray fervently to be sanctified. You cannot say that. God, I don't have much rewards. Give me more time. Then I will give up what I enjoyed. I will just do my job better. You cannot say that. It is late already to regret. That's why you have to eat lamb during the night. Exodus 12:11 says, "Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." This is the readiness to leave anytime. You have to eat lamb as you are ready to leave. Well, when Israelites ate lamb like this, according to the word of God, the last plague of firstborn was upon Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 30 to 32 says, "Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, 'Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also.'" Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and asked them to leave. Israelites were already ready to leave Egypt, so they got out quickly. So they couldn't eat lamb once the morning comes. Our shepherd explained this part like this. Let me read what he said as it is. before you come into, before you go to heaven, once you come into spirit, then you realize how in vain the worldly things. Once you come into spirit, the faith of flesh and the faith of spirit is completely different. Just like heaven and earth is so much different. When you have faith of spirit, then your worries are all gone. Why? Because you have faith. The Father God gives, your worries are nothing. Your worries cannot please our Father God. It is rather the way to receive the work of Satan. Once you come into spirit, you will not have no worries. You will rather work and worry about Father God's kingdom and His righteousness. Then Father God will take care of what you eat and what you sleep, where you sleep, and where to, you know, what to wear. He will take care of your health so that you can take care of Father God's work and pile of rewards in heaven. Once you come into spirit, you will have greater hope for New Jerusalem. You will have hope that you can surely go to New Jerusalem. Everything of the world is in vain. You knew, you will understand. And before the Lord comes back, you will diligently make bread of the word of God. You gotta do it. Before the morning comes, during the night, you gotta accomplish them all. Finish your ordination as a bride of the Lord and wait for the Lord. You gotta finish it before morning. The Bible says, you should be kept blameless until the Lord comes back. You gotta do that. Our shepherd told us to come into spirit quickly. Since he has lived such a life after he met the Lord, he could say that with confidence. Since he knew how beautiful and how good New Jerusalem is, he asked us desperately to go together. That's why he prepared the book, The Gift of Love, which we have to keep and cast off and do's and don'ts from Genesis to Revelation. Before morning, we have to make bread of lamb. Then our spirit will grow up well and become very strong. Not only we, but also we have to take hands of all people around us to go to New Jerusalem. Let me conclude this message. I told you, what is spiritual food? I explained. The flesh and blood of the Son of Man is true spiritual food. It will make our spirit grow. We have to roast it with fire. We have to eat everything. We gotta eat it before morning. Some people eat it raw or boil it with water. And it is wrong. Those who eat this word of God well, have confidence in eternal life, they will have overflowing hope for heaven. Whenever they read the Bible or listen to message, times fly. They want to listen to more. And they discover themselves and they change themselves. They are so happy. Those who eat the flesh of man, Son of Man well, can drink the blood of Son of Man well. And they can make spiritual growth very quickly. And then their life in heaven will also change as well. Last 25th was 36th anniversary of church opening. I thought about my shepherd in a great deal because I recalled what I experienced before. So this will be my conclusion. This is what I had when I was a college student. Now, the college mission is over. There is no college mission. But by 2012, there was a college mission, Paul's mission, Mary's mission, and other six missions. Since I went to college, I became a member of college mission, and I was called as a servant of God. I think I was called and I was preparing myself, but I was a college student in 2011. It happened that day. I was praying over there in the choir place. I was looking at the opposite side of the sanctuary. I was singing praises. One of my favorite song was Reason to Go to New Jerusalem. But then I saw a road open, unfolded before my eyes. I thought I was using my idle thoughts, but I realized that it was not my idle thought. So I was singing and focused on that scene. So let me tell you in great detail what I saw. The road was so wide. You know how wide the Gwanghwamun Road before Seoul City Hall, right? The road is so wide, right? That road that I saw was so wide like that. And I realized that it was a way to New Jerusalem. I was in the middle of the road. That road was paved with gold. It was so nice to walk on it. Then I could see the backs of people in great number. All of them walking toward one point. They were all mommy members. Mommy members. They were new people. They were marching toward New Jerusalem without ceasing. And they all were carrying a cross on their shoulder. You know, we want to go to New Jerusalem, right? We got to pay the price, right? We got to be thankful for the grace of salvation and grace of healing. We got to do our duty. We have to be sanctified. We got to be faithful in all God's house. That's the key to New Jerusalem. So we rejoiced while walking the road with cross over our shoulder. Our measure of faith are all different. So the size of the cross were all different. Some had the cross as big as a lumpack, like a backpack. Others had the big cross, which is twice bigger than their height. So they, all of them carrying the cross. I was following those members, and I was so happy. Suddenly, I was lifted up in the air, and then flew to the front side of the marching. Then I saw huge mast. Then I thought, since there is a mast like that, you know, people will not get lost because they just walk toward that mast. Then they can get to New Jerusalem. Well, that mast is like pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. I'm so thankful for that mast. That's what I thought when I saw that mast. But I realized that it was not mast. It was the cross. The mast was like huge, like a huge apartment building. The cross was leaning to the ground. The part of the cross that I thought it was a mast was, you know, the one of two arms of the cross. So you can see how big the cross was. Can you imagine how tall and how wide the cross would be? You know, it didn't seem to be moved at all, but that cross was moving little by little. I was curious how it moved. Then I landed close to the cross. The other side of the arm of the cross was dragging on the cross. Then I realized how the cross moved. Our shepherd was carrying that cross on his shoulder alone in front of members, our members. He was in clean suit, as we see all the time. You know, he never put on a loose dress. He always put on a perfect, you know, suit, right? The back of the suit was torn apart. His bare skin was revealed. There were bruises on his shoulder. He didn't lift up his head. I wanted to do something, but there was nothing I could do. Many people of Holy Spirit followed the shepherd. I couldn't come close to him. Our shepherd walked that way alone, all alone, in order not to make us worry. He didn't stop. The mast kept on moving. The huge cross moved faster than us. Our members followed it. We cheered and said, our shepherd is leading us to best place in New Jerusalem. But I was the observer, so I could see the pain of our shepherd. He was in great pain to move one step. His legs was trembling to support the cross. Sweat came down to the ground and blood came down. He said, it is the providence of God. Even though I got no strength, I cannot see well, I cannot hear well, but surely I will come out of resurrection. Don't worry. I remember what he did. That was the load that man cannot carry. I didn't feel that weight. I still don't feel it. Because back then, I was nobody. I was just carrying my own cross. Brothers and sisters, our shepherd turned his head back toward us. It's not easy to turn your head when you carry something on your shoulder, right? But he did. He looked over us. If there is anyone who stopped, anyone went back to the world, anyone suffered from the weight of the cross, then he thought about something. Then countless golden rays from the cross ran toward all members, from the people of the Holy Spirit to the newcomers, the back of the marching. It was the thread of gold. That golden thread was connected to the cross. Whether it was the small cross or big cross, all mummy members are connected to that golden thread. It wasn't thick thread, but it was never cut. It was the thread of trust. Invisible thread of trust. All members connected to that thread of trust are connected to the cross of the shepherd. When our shepherd put one step toward, our all members also made one steps. We all follow the shepherd. We could get to New Jerusalem much easier following our shepherd. Then I realized what that cross was. When I realized that the mast was the cross, I realized that it was the word and order of the Lord. That's the last providence. Our shepherd had to find it by himself, and he had to walk this way, and nobody walked. And I realized that the cross was us. People of the Holy Spirit shed tears, knowing the heart of the shepherd. And they sped up. Although the cross that they were carrying was a lot heavier than the cross that we were carrying. To make the thread connected from shepherd's cross to the crosses of the members loosen, to unload the cross even a little bit. They couldn't even see the back of our shepherd, but they just ran. They just turned his head down, just looking on the ground and just ran. Our Mrs. Bonlini could not see the back of our shepherd. The one thing in common was that they did all their best. by seeing the sacrifice of our shepherd. They were all united as one, for Father God and the Lord and shepherd. That's what I saw in 2011. Then I started to pray. I wasn't a man of spirit yet, but I had one thought after I saw this vision. By all means, I gotta help our shepherd. Then I gotta run faster. If I run faster, our shepherd will feel a little bit easier. Decided myself to go into spirit all the more quickly. And Father God made my dream come true. Brothers and sisters, if we follow our shepherd well, we can surely go to New Jerusalem. Our shepherd met God and became a man of spirit in 3 years. And he explains his way to us clearly. What our shepherd did becomes our sure mast before our eyes. As long as we are not cut from the trust, from our trust in the shepherd, that thread will not be cut off. Do you believe that this time is to make our trust relationship with our shepherd stronger? Even though we cannot see the back of our shepherd, we gotta believe and trust our shepherd who would pray and take care of us. You would rejoice and give thanks more. You will be armed with the word of God. You have to keep your place. You have to look back on yourselves. And you have to wait for the day that we will see the shepherd again. You are running hard to go to the best place in heaven. Especially you who come to this church this very night is the one who know who have tasted the word of God. You are so wise to invest your time on this earth for the life in heaven. I hope that you will eat lamb roasted with fire, everything. Make bread of it before the Lord comes back. I pray in the name of the Lord that, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will sit on the glorious position in heaven. Let's think of the message and pray together.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.